Your Bibles, if you will, to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read from this here in a minute. Have you ever felt like that you're at war? I'm not talking about at war with your spouse or your children or with your parents. I'm talking about at war with the world. And more precisely, have you ever felt like the world is at war with us, with Christians? You know, we understand that as Christians, we're all going to face persecution, right? But what I want to talk about tonight is not necessarily the individual type of persecution that we may see in our daily life, but rather a more concerted effort for people who are trying to undermine Christianity, to make Christianity seem unnecessary, backward, and even oppressive. I think there's a very strong movement going on now to do that kind of thing to religion. I think it's important that we be cognizant of what's happening so that we know how to recognize it and to fight back against it. One of the easiest examples that we can look at to show how certain issues are being used to push the move to get rid of religion is gay marriage. This is something that's been in the news a lot recently with a couple of Supreme Court cases. We had a vote on it last year here in North Carolina. And we hear about it so much and so much now, and it seems like it's different because we know that gay marriage has been an issue for many years, but more recently, we're hearing about it more and more, so it seems like it must be affecting a lot of people, right? But if you look at the actual numbers, it's not that way. You know, in polls that have been done over the past few years where heterosexual people are asked, what percentage of the population in America do you think are gay? They will give answers like believing anywhere from 10 to 25% of the people in the U.S. are gay. However, the most comprehensive study that was done about 6 months ago where they asked people, what do you consider your sexuality to be? Only about 3% of Americans self-identified as being considering themselves to be gay. And of that small percentage, only a few of those are the ones who are really active in pushing for gay marriage and having that kind of recognition. So if there's such a small number of people who feel so strongly about the issue, why are we hearing about it so much? Why is it out in the forefront and we're being hammered with it daily? I think the answer is that it's not about rights. People will tell you that it's about just everyone having the same rights. But that's not it. This is just a convenient vessel for people to use to undermine religion, to force other people to accept what they may find to be ethically and religiously unacceptable. Consider for a second, if you will, the following. These are a few things that have happened just in the past few years. Christian photographers, Elaine Photography in New Mexico, were approached by a same-sex couple looking to hire a wedding photographer. Elaine Photography politely declined, citing their Christian faith, and were sued by the couple under the state's anti-discriminatory laws and won. In Lexington, Kentucky, a t-shirt shop called Hands On Originals was approached by the Gay and Lesbian Services Organization about printing shirts for the group. The t-shirt company politely declined and even sought out quotes and gave the group referrals to other t-shirt printers, along with comparable prices. They were promptly sued by the group under Lexington's anti-discriminatory laws, and are currently being forced to comply with a lengthy investigation. And these kind of things aren't just limited to businesses. A Methodist church in New Jersey was sued for not offering its facility for use during same-sex weddings. A judge recently ruled against the church, saying if they're going to have their facilities open for other people, they have to have it available for same-sex marriage as well. And finally, Catholic Charities was barred from assisting in adoptions in Massachusetts, Washington, D.C., and Illinois, and excluded from future contracts because it declined to consider same-sex couples. So it's not just about rights, it's about people wanting to force their ideas on us, to make us believe and accept what they believe. Now, I've been told that I can be a bit of a conspiracy theorist, so you may think that tonight I'm kind of, you know, projecting my own thoughts onto what's going on and that maybe there's not such a concerted push to try to force Christianity out of the forefront and just push us into the closet. But think about this. I want to read to you just a few passages from an article I read a few weeks ago on an online news source. I think this will help put some things into clarity for us. Todd Stiefel is far from a household name, and the odds he gets recognized on a street corner are small, even in his hometown of Raleigh, North Carolina. For Stiefel, his public persona is his wallet and activism. Through the Stiefel Free Thought Foundation, the 38-year-old has made an indelible impact on the nation's fastest-growing religious group. They call it religious group, the nonbelievers. Most of the highest-profile atheist campaigns, such as flashy billboards in high-traffic areas, news-making efforts to get atheists to come out of the closet, and boisterous rallies are funded by his fortune. And Stiefel is not shy about his far-reaching goals. "What I am trying to accomplish is multifold," he told CNN. "I consider myself working on the next civil equality movement, just like women's rights, LGBT rights, and African American civil rights. We are still in the early stages of eliminating discrimination against atheists and humanists, and that is something I really want to accomplish." In 2009, Stiefel's family sold the family business to Glaxo for $2.9 billion, with a B. So far, Stiefel has pumped $3.5 million of his own money into atheism, but he sees his work as far more than just money. For him, this is just the beginning. He was quoted as saying that, "I wanted to give back, and this seemed like the most productive way to help humanity." Now think about that for a minute. Someone who has so much that could be doing so many great things for so many people sees his role in life as to help humanity by taking out of humanity the very one who created humanity. Doesn't seem to make much sense, does it? Stiefel is also carrying out what he calls interbelief work, or charitable work. And this is where I think it gets the most dangerous. One example is his cancer fundraising, which garnered over $200,000 in 2012. Across the country, there are 150 local groups of atheists and free thinkers raising money for charity, Stiefel said proudly. The key, however, was bridging the gap between atheist and religious communities in the name of charity. "We welcomed Christians as well," he said. "Some of our biggest fundraisers were Christians." So we can see that the atheist movement is really trying to link up with religious organizations. And it's all for the part of get to know us. Let's all join together. Look, we're all good people helping out this charity. You're good Christians. We're good atheists. We're not that different than you are. You need to just accept us and realize that you don't have to worry about all this Bible stuff to be a good person. You know, that's the kind of front they come at us with to try to make us change our views, give up Christ, give up Christianity, and look to the direction they want us to go. Look now at 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 11 through 13. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he slay his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." You know, thousands of years have passed since Cain killed Abel. And has society really changed much? From the very beginning, those who refuse to seek after righteousness would rather choose to destroy that which is righteous. And it's no different today. War is definitely being waged against religion and against Christianity in specific. There is a concerted effort to systematically dismantle organized religion, push it behind, and have everybody move forward together as free thinkers, as they like to call it. We have to recognize those kind of things, the way that people are coming at us to do that. The question is then, what will we do about it? I think the first and foremost thing is that we need to show them God's love. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we see that this really is a top-down mission that's before us, right? Because God so loved the world that he sent his son to the world. Jesus so loved the world that he freely gave himself to die as a sacrifice for our sins. And now we have to love the world enough to look past the harm that they may wish to do to us and instead try to help them by giving them what we already have, which is salvation. God's love. We'll see that even though I may think that I can't do much about what's going on, if I can just plant the seed, God's love the word of Jesus into the heart and soul of just one person. That can make a big difference. If we can get these people to understand that God's love will change them and will make their lives that much better, then we will go a long way in overcoming what this problem is. Now, Jesus began his church with the knowledge that nothing was going to prevail against it, right? So it doesn't matter if God lets the world stand for another 10,000 years, we can be assured that Christ's church will still be here. That doesn't negate the fact, though, that we're the first line of defense today. We need to be out there seeing the problem and trying to solve the problem. That's the only way that the problem is going to get better. So the question for you tonight is, are you fighting for Christ? Are you doing all that you can to try to overcome those who would seek to overthrow the church? Maybe there's people here tonight who haven't been baptized. You've never put on Christ so that you know what the love of God is like. You know what a change in your life God's word can have. And if that's the case, then we invite you to think about getting baptized this evening, or at the very minimum, talk to someone here about it some more and try to get your questions answered. Perhaps you've already been baptized and tonight you just have questions. You maybe think you haven't been living your life as well as you could. You haven't been fighting for Christ as well as you think you can. Whatever your need might be tonight, if you have a need, please come forward now while we stand and sing.